Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God set up Jesus in a battle he knew he could win, and he did win. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. You were tempted to go home, weren't you? Wait. Are we not to learn something from the temptation of our Lord Jesus, as we heard in the text today? That battle against Jesus and our old evil foe. Are we not to learn about the temptation and how the devil works so that we can stand against the schemes of our adversary? All the more as we see the day drawing near. What can we learn today and take to heart for tomorrow? First, I think it's good to note that it was in Jesus' time alone, fasting and praying, that the devil unveiled himself and came and truly spoke to and truly tempted Jesus. During that time of prayer and devotion, fasting for God. And that's when he heard, if you are the Son of God. And if Jesus gives that up, he gives up everything. Yet hungry people tend to do desperate things. Just ask Esau. Remember in the Old Testament, Esau, Jacob? He sold his birthright, his right to the firstborn things, the inheritance, all for what? A bowl of stew, right? Hungry people do desperate things. It must have been some either really good stew, or he was truly desperate, and he gave in to temptation. Fasting for 40 days could certainly make one desperate for food, for bread, or for whatever end of the starvation one might offer them, whatever that may be. Whether it be death, or even bowing down to someone that you wouldn't normally bow down to. So after Jesus fasted 40 days, he was certainly poised for a battle. A battle between the idol of self-preservation as a true human being, with a strong temptation from a not-so-friendly foe, and that of God's provision, God's life that he promises. For all those who give up their life and trust solely in his word. In reply to devilish taunts, Jesus declares, man must not live by bread alone. Here's the application for you. You are a man. You are a woman. You call yourself a child of God. You must not live by bread alone. And the devil will be right there tempting you to think otherwise. Whatever you falsely think that you can live on, the devil will cover up the fact that you will live alone by the word of God. You are not a cosmic accident. God wanted you on this planet to see his creation, and he desires you to be a part of the next creation, the world to come, for those who trust solely in his word. His word is what got this cosmos started, and it is his word that saves. And it is the weapon of choice to fight against the devil's schemes, as we saw by Jesus' example in the text today. Schemes that make you question who you are and to whom you belong and with whom will you spend eternity. Grand scheme number one, the tempter tried to take out the Savior. He failed. He tried to get the devil tried to get Jesus off his mission, to go to the cross for us, to stay faithful to him who called him to do something for all his brothers, for us, by the cross. He tried to get him off. That was the grand scheme number one, is take out the Savior. And yet Jesus remained faithful to his identity and faithful to his mission. So, grand scheme number two, the tempter tries, is to take out those who believe in Jesus as the gift of life. He whose identity gives our identity meaning. Children of God with whom the Father's favor rests. He can't take out the Savior anymore. That campaign failed. But the devil does have a chance at you and me. The campaign to take out the Savior didn't end in the wilderness of temptation. It ended at the cross, where Christ Jesus gave up his life in exchange for your life. His life, innocent for sinful human beings, his brothers and sisters. The resurrection sealed the deal. Death was swallowed up by life. Jesus conquered in the battle, and we win who believe. So the devil's last desperate attempt, therefore, campaign number two, is take out as many believers today as he can, such that each Christian funeral is a loss for the devil. And each prayer in faith to God and the faith of Christ Jesus is a painful song in the devil's ears. But lest you think that he's not as active in these holy times like Lent, just remember he will tempt you. Are you fasting for God, or are you fasting for your own health and your waistline? So what that you are depriving yourself of something you love? What are you filling the void with? A different carnal pleasure? A substitute? Like, I can't have sugar, I'll just have some equal. Or are you enriching your mind and your soul with the living Word of God? Are you becoming more and more conversant with God in prayer? Are you fasting to show that you rely not on bread, but on God Himself, His Word? Are you growing in knowledge of wisdom and putting on the whole armor of God so you can stand against the schemes of the devil? Or are you becoming more like the world? Like the Sodom and Gomorrah that we heard about this past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday? Arrogant, overfed, uncaring. That's what God said about Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Ezekiel. Haughty, no help for the poor, no help for the needy, and they did detestable things. Have you truly tried God's help for all the things that taunt you, that bother your conscience? For some, it's drug addiction. For some, it's sex addiction. For some, it's depression. For some, it's violent game obsession. Or just the overall uncaring addiction. For some, it's loneliness. Do you turn for yourself? Self-coping means to fight off your own demons. Don't think that if you try using God's help, the temptations will go away. They'll multiply. The devil will put his best men on the job. He wants to devour, making you question everything that's true and holy. Like Jesus did against our great enemy, stand fast, no less. In the midst of temptation, stand fast in the Word of God. Stand fast in the hope of Him who gives life, hope, and purpose, and meaning, hope for humanity. Attack the devil where he is weakest, on the truth. Therefore, you must know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Jesus came and died that you might have life and have it abundantly. Not carnal pleasures galore, but life with God now and in eternity. Life of repentance and grace and peace, forgiveness for your trespasses. Love for your neighbor, not by your own inspired and built up love, but love that sees what God does for His creatures and putting us in a church, putting us in community, putting us in family, and making sacrifices for one another. This bothers the devil. That when you give up something for yourself and you do something for someone else, this bothers the one who is your great enemy, who would have you do all things for self and ultimately live in a self-made hell. Balm God gives to cure the wounded heart by giving us His Word, the Word of hope and comfort, the Psalms that we hear in Lent. A calm for the storms of life and death. Help to stand against the temptations that come and overcome in all ways. You see, God did set up Jesus in a battle He knew He could win, and He did win. Likewise, God promises the help of the Holy Spirit, that nothing will be too much for you to bear as you live in His grace and forgiveness as children of God, living by the Word alone, not by bread alone. God grant us hearing ears and hearts that believe, the power that is in His Holy Spirit, the help that He gives to fight against temptation and every scheme of the devil. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.